The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is Jordan Grace, and you're listening to the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
BWB. This is One Nation Radio. You better get it right. Rich Ladder, James Boyd came to give them life. The Blackest Wrestling Podcast has come to kick all ass and drop it 6 feet if they're kicking trash. Word, let me welcome y'all to something different. And if you dig it, man, you should let some friends listen. We be getting it in this on the regular, dude. Ravishing flow, but this shit rule. See, James don't rap, so I had to break it down. The whole network, man, we coming for the crown. Raps in the columns, I keep them both covered. Making the beats too, so the listeners can bump it. Hit us with the rating, yeah, I'm saying it's a 5. Before you hit a tug, bob your head side to side. It's One Nation Radio, and this is the beginning. It's Rich, and I'm here with James. It's time to listen to One Nation.
We got to unleash the power of the pyramid.
This is Mike Sempervivi from WrestlingObserver.com. Check me out on Wrestling Observer Live every day. And also check out your boys, Rich and James, on One Nation Radio.
Hi, this is Kenny Omega. We're listening to One Nation Radio. Check it out, guys. These guys know what's up. Big Kenny Omega fans, that's all it counts to me. Goodbye and good night.
Hey, folks. Welcome to One Nation Radio. No need for introductions. You know who I am. You know who Rich is. We know why you are here. You know why we have decided to put this show on right before Rampage in the middle of SmackDown on a Friday night. We are here to officially pack up Vince McMahon forever, forever, forever. Rich, how would you like to start the festivities?
Oh my God. I have been waiting for this day for so long. I didn't know we'd actually ever get to celebrate this. I always thought he'd die in the chair, as I'll get to later. But it is time to open the pack. This is breaking news audio for One Nation Radio, giving you guys the extras, giving you guys something to, you know, before everybody else gets all their takes out. No, you say you heard One Nation Radio first. We let you know. But James, I've just been seeing these people and these conflicting emotions on the timeline, but I guess we should probably start with the actual kind of statement. So Vince McMahon earlier, just with an innocuous kind of tweet, sends out a tweet basically, it's time to go. I'm trying to locate the tweet right now. He said, 1 second. He said, at 77, time for me to retire. Thank you, WWE Universe. Then, now, forever, together. Hashtag WWE. Hashtag thankful. Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan have been officially named as co-CEOs of WWE immediately. Triple H earlier in the day rejoined WWE. He is head of talent relations. They basically, from there, we saw Tony Khan send a tweet out that has people butthurt. TK called himself, he said he was grateful to be the longest tenured CEO in pro wrestling and dropped the Rampage tonight.
Yes.
The official, like, WWE statement behind this was our global audience can take comfort in knowing WWE will continue to entertain you with the same fervor, dedication, and passion as always, McMahon continued. I'm extremely confident in the continued success of WWE, and I leave our company in the capable hands of an extraordinary group of superstars, employees, and executives, in particular, both chairwoman and co-CEO Stephanie McMahon and co-CEO Nick Khan. As the majority shareholder, I will continue to support WWE in any way I can. My personal thanks to our community and business partners, shareholders, and board of directors for their guidance and support through the years, then, now, forever together. And his original first thing was, as I approach 77 years old, I feel it's time for me to retire. as the chairman and CEO of WWE. McMahon said in a statement released by the company, "Throughout the years, it's been a privilege to help WWE bring you joy, inspire you, thrill you, surprise you, and always entertain you. I would like to thank my family for mightily contributing to our success. And I would also like to thank all of our past and present superstars and employees for their dedication and passion for our brand. Most importantly, I would like to thank our fans for allowing us into your homes every week and being your choice of entertainment. I hold the deepest appreciation and admiration for our generations of fans all over the world who have liked, currently like, and sometimes even love our form of sports entertainment." Boy, fucking boy.
I'm confused. I thought it was a universe. I thought, what is this fans talk? I thought it was a universe. No?
Yeah, I've never been called a fan before. I thought it was just a universe here.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. What's your initial reaction to all this, James?
Oh, you want my initial reaction? Nah.
Pull it up.
Nah.
Pull it up. Mm-mm. Let's go.
Man, I'm going to say something about Vince McMahon. He is clearly the most popular, or sorry, the most successful promoter, booker, blah, 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 yeah. Get that shit the fuck out of here.
Let's get out in the forefront.
That goes without saying. Moving on from there, the last 5, 6, 7, I don't know how many years it's been, he's been fucking awful. He should not have had this job. He's been unfit to have it. He was getting packed up by his own son-in-law, and then he sent his son-in-law out there to get fucking murdered by putting him in a fucking shoebox with bad lighting for 400 people in there to then go compete against Chris fucking Jericho, Kenny Omega, Cody, who's now their fucking second biggest star in the company, right? And then what took all of this to happen was all of the things, some of the terrible things he's done over decades of time to come back to light. For people to say, oh yeah, this dude kind of does fucking suck. He needs to get the fuck out of here. He's been bad at his job that he cares most about in this whole thing. Him being a promoter or whatever else, whatever. His booking has been dog shit for years now. Years.
Awful.
When was the last time he was an elite booker?
The last time Vince McMahon was an elite booker was probably 2014. At least, at minimum. Like, I think the free fall started in 2017, but the, like, as far as, like, yo, he's, like, they're on top of their game, like, 2014, I would say.
I mean, it's somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think his last Raw was probably 2016 when he was letting his wrestlers wrestle. And then amazing. He was like, oh, no, we can't do that because then the guys we really want to push can't hold it to that standard. The only one we really got right now is Roman Reigns that can wrestle that standard. Can't possibly do that. We can't possibly be asked why we pay Brock Lesnar however many six figures per match to go out there and wrestle his ass off. Nah. He 7 minutes and he, you know, he'll be Kofi Kingston or whatever else.
Amazing. So I'm just gonna say, James, Vince McMahon was an important figure in pro wrestling. Now it's time to pack this old bitch up. If Vince McMahon didn't run wrestling in America, someone else would have done it.
Yep.
It would exist in a different form if Vince never came along. These wrestlers would have been wrestlers. There are individual moments you wouldn't have had, sure, but it would come in a different form and you'd still like pro wrestling. Unless you don't like pro wrestling and you only like Vince McMahon and his vision of what the sport is. The death of Owen Hart is on his hands. He's responsible for racist programming, sexist programming, and booking so bad it created PTSD for fans when they watch other promotions. He's completely overrated as a star creator. He hasn't been known, or he hasn't known how to make a babyface for years.
Yep.
He's operated essentially as Al Davis for the last decade. It's been fucking time to go. He's an accused rapist running from scandal, and we do not have to uphold him him as this warm, fuzzy figure to have complicated feelings over. I saw people getting upset and butthurt because Tony Khan sent the tweet out, but those same people were quiet as a church mouse regarding the last two Wall Street Journal stories. Get fucking real. I don't know who needs to hear this, but Vince McMahon is not your father. Wrestlers twerking on the timeline. Vince McMahon is not your father. Unless your name is Shane or Stephanie, Vince McMahon is not your father. Here's the deal. WWE might get better. They've done so much damage to their brand in the eyes of pro wrestling fans that another major company was able to emerge and serve its own audience to the point of getting numerous lucrative television deals. That probably came largely from WWE running their audience off. As hard as it is to believe, which is the way he intended it, there was a pro wrestling industry before Vince McMahon, and there will be one after him. My grandfather was born in 1928 and was a lifelong wrestling fan. He watched a world of wrestling before 1984. Embrace the change of excitement and newness of seeing history. We all thought Vince McMahon was going to die in the chair. Be happy you aren't mourning a death. Let the man live the rest of his days in shame. If it wasn't obvious, Vince McMahon is not the only person that knew or knows how to do pro wrestling. Vince McMahon went down because he allegedly committed numerous sex crimes, and the bill was finally so high that even McMahon's millions couldn't get him out of this. He's 77 years old, trying to frame this as him stepping away because he's old. He had no intention to do this. Stephanie was leaving the company a month ago with WWE planning stories that she stunk at her job. The workaholic, the midnight weightlifter, the man obsessed with control on every level. Just gave it all up on a whim, huh? The Wall Street Journal wrote two stories and he hit the road faster than Ray Charles. This is not a coincidence. HBO Real Sports has a feature in the works set to drop a month from tomorrow. I repeat, this is not a coincidence. This is a house of cards that has finally fallen. Creatively, he's trash. And as a human, he's worse. Caping for him will never fly. WWE is going to get sold. Make peace with things, pack this old piece of trash up, and I hope he gets sued.
So you mentioned one part I take issue with. You left out the homophobia.
Ah, add that too.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, like, he's just...
Wrestling media, the owner of Fightful, Jimmy Van, acting like a sucker on Twitter.
What did he say?
Just like, just twerking for Vince. like, come on, man. Like, y'all gotta stop this. Just all these thank yous to Vince McMahon, and the crying and the outpouring and the dick riding is just immeasurable, and it's sickening.
And the crazy part is, I could somewhat understand it if this was his death, right? People don't really want to call people out for example, every single president we ever had being a war criminal when they die, right? Even Richard Nixon got his due, right? As he passed, as far as his trading stuff with China. Anyway, is it China? Whatever. I forgot what he got, but what people always bring up with Nixon. I forgot. I'll go back and I'll bring it up next week during the show. But, only thing he lost was his job as the head of creative. He still has his stock right now. He's still going to make all the money right now. He won't be in the building anymore. Turn Titan Tower to a museum. I don't know what the fuck, whatever, a mausoleum, whatever you want to call it. Bury him in Titan Tower. I don't know, whenever he finally does go, but like that part is done. He's, him being away from this thing is for the best for everybody. It's for the best for the wrestlers. It's for the best for the viewers.
Like, amazing.
Like, I had somebody, and you know who it is, Rich, after the word is about Brock Lesnar saying that when Vince is leaving, so he's also leaving too, so he's not being involved in what's going on, allegedly. with SummerSlam. I had someone ask, or like, so what's Roman doing at SummerSlam? And I was like, I don't know. He might not even be on the show now. And they were like, well, they wouldn't false advertise. I was like, we're talking about SummerSlam. What happened at SummerSlam this last fucking year? Like, this is where we are with this company. Because of him at the top, micromanaging everybody, having them be on bullshit, having people be on their, walking on eggshells at all times. Like, do you ever listen to the Tony Storm podcast?
Yes, I did. Damn it.
She's one of how many people we've had these podcasts with over the years?
It pretty Moxley, much started doing multiple from podcasts Moxley.
Over the years.
From Moxley 2014. CM Punk as well.
This dude is a terrible, toxic person that has made this place an awful place for people to want to work for decades. And he's gone. I'm happy that he's gone.
Yeah. I have some questions, James. I guess we can roll through. So this comes from Ryan Evans. He said, who do you guys think will be the head of creative now that Vince is retired? I'm intrigued how the product will be like and creative will be like booking without Vince. Well, right now, the immediate replacement is Bruce Prichard. That inspires zero confidence, but I would assume that's not the long-term answer here. I think we could go into a period of flux. I think there's a... there's a lot of warring factions here politically. Like, there's Nick Khan, there's Stephanie and Triple H, there's the Heyman and Prichard crony group. Like, this could be like WCW, where everyone kind of gets a chance to run it at some point. I don't know who the new Vince is right now.
I mean, to be fair, there's not necessarily a need for there to actually be a quote unquote Vince. They can go to a committee. It's fine. They could just basically write on the program sheet or white in the back of the locker room. They just write on the whiteboard, you with this person for television 8 months, or sorry, 2 months. You and this person 6 weeks. You and this person 4 weeks. Y'all figure it out. Y'all go. Y'all got the writing team. Y'all figure it out. Come back to me with whoever else and pitch ideas.
I'm waiting for Kevin Dunn to be shipped out and thrown, in the river.
From everything I've heard from multiple people for years now at this point, there was never a world where Kevin Dunn was lasting long in a world where Stephanie McMahon or Hunter had some version of control, and Vince wasn't there to save him. He will not be there.
Rumors, Dellen says, talk is Kevin Dunn is finished after tonight's SmackDown. I think you can't underestimate Jeff Jarrett in this. Jeff Jarrett already has an executive position in WWE right now. You can never count it out. And I always came on this show for years and as a gag would say, Jeff Jarrett is going to end up in charge of all this shit. And like, it's closer than ever to happening right now. I'm in disbelief. Rambo and Slam Pig. He said, one, if it's wrong to enjoy this, I don't want to be right. What are your thoughts on taking joy at the downfall of another person?
Oh, if it's a terrible person or someone has done something terrible, why not?
Yeah. Dance on a grave. Like,
like, I get, like, the whole part of it is rude or it's unseemly or it seems out of pocket or whatever else. But, nah, man, people do terrible things. People are bad people. And, like, life's not fair. Life's not fair and people think that, and people believe in karma to kind of, in their belief, in their, like, world of belief, kind of feel like, all right, if I'm a good person, if I don't shit on people, bad things will happen to my enemies or on people that are, you know, my drains in life. And it'll give you peace of mind and like you can keep moving forward with your days and on this spinning rock, right? That's a lot of people's belief system, right? Whether spiritually or otherwise. That ain't real. So when you get opportunity, when someone is shitty, ends up in the mud, celebrate. Fuck them. Wee ball.
Exactly. He said, will Brock get treated like Sasha for his walkout tonight? If not, why? Is there some key difference that I may be missing? Maybe an obvious one. Well, one, Brock Lesnar is out here acting like Vince McMahon's his daddy, which is amazing. Yes, there is a key difference you're missing. One, they don't treat Brock
he's
like
being, I think he's yeah. being cute or facetious. Yeah. That's the word, yeah.
Yeah, like Brock Lesnar and Sasha Banks will not receive the same treatment. The reasons are obvious. He said, "Do you think
especially
this sudden,
from the fans.
Yeah, yeah, this sudden retirement is due to some even worse story coming down the pipe from the Wall Street Journal or somewhere else? 100%.
That's what I'd bet on. That's what I'd bet on. Like, no, look, I'm sure there is some example. Publicly that I can think of where one of these people famous took advantage of, you know, their power and their wealth. And that was only an isolated incident. And that one isolated incident is what got them, you know, put in the spotlight and put on the Summer Jam screen. But the overwhelming majority of these instances is it's always more than one. And normally when it's more than one, it's more than two. And it's a serial of, and this person is a serial offender. So we're bound to find out something worse than this.
Yeah, that HBO Real Sports documentary that's set to come out August 23rd, I believe I heard the date was, is going to be one to watch. And HBO doesn't come to fuck around. He said, do you think Jimmy Snuka was covering for Vince rather than the other way around?
Oh, God. No. I'm not going that far, but that is a funny joke. Jesus Christ.
Question from Dan Coffin. Is Vince McMahon actually dead? His career is.
I think he's still with us. I think we'd find out. Like this isn't like we find out all of a sudden, like, you know, some Japanese booker's been dead for like 2 months, like after the fact. Like, no, I don't think it's like that now.
Question from Brenovan Candia. He said, how long do you think creative and slash production changes, if any, will take to happen?
I mean, no later than when they start the season premiere of, you know, football season. No mm-hmm. later than that. And I would say as early as SummerSlam.
I was thinking, like, you know, SummerSlam would be their night to, quote unquote, relaunch the WWE under
soft
whatever.
Relaunch. Soft relaunch. I almost made a joke. I think of a lot of, as many, like, you know, spicy things as you do. I just don't send them. But I had a thought, like, what if, you know, kind of similar to when they used to do with WCW. Why don't you just do a horror reboot and strip all the fucking belts?
Oh, my God. I mean, Vince Russo could come in, you know, he clean this shit up. You know, if they're looking to do a reboot, you know, if they need him for one episode, Vince Russo could shake this shit right up.
Look, Stephanie will not be bringing in Vince Russo. That is not happening. I can guarantee you that. Hell no. Triple H, Stephanie, and all have a conversation comparing notes on their day, you know, in bed before they both clock out to go to sleep so they can get their ass up and work up and work out at like 5 in the morning, right? They taking their ass to sleep at like, you know, 8 at night. And they talk about, yeah, babe, so I'm thinking of bringing in. Who? Bringing in who? No. We gotta talk about this. We're going to lose some hours of sleep talking about this one. You thought about bringing in who? Not even did bring in who. You thought about bringing him? Why? For what? For who? What? Huh? So, I don't think that one's happening. I just don't think that one's happening.
He said, we also have a question from @GuidedBToTheMoon. He said, do you guys really think he's done? Or do you think he's going to be texting Stephanie all day from home? That could easily happen.
Yeah. That could easily happen. I just don't think after a certain amount of time, she will list everything that he has to offer. And I think people will then, because it's really hard for women in business where, like, if they, you know, everybody, so many dudes inherit their company from, you know, from their parents, right? But when women do it, like, the people looking around them, like, you know, most people feel like that, you know, the kid doesn't really have it, But when it's women, they really don't think they have it. So, like, there's only so much. There's only so much of her, like, relying on even not even, like, his words. Just being around him for so long and knowing what his instincts are, for her to instinctively do some of the things that he would do is going to make people look around and be like, oh, you just basically, like, cosplaying as your dad. So, like, she's going to have to, like, find a way to make peace with people judging her, and also, like, she's going to have to find a way to make her own identity as a company. And, like, look.
And sharing her job, because Nick Khan's also a co-CEO.
Yeah. And, you know, to be quite honest with you, I feel like any grown adult is going to do a better job than Vince. I just do. He's been horrible.
So something to look at is CMLL when the daughter got past the company from Paco Alonso.
Yes.
And I'm not saying it's going to be the same thing, but, you know, if you look at, you know, pro wrestling, things like normally repeat themselves. There's always an example to look for elsewhere.
Yeah, it is a very bad history of women taking over or inheriting promotions and, like, the talent being, like, looking around and being like, nah, this ain't for me. I'm getting the fuck out of here. It happened, like... That happened with Championship Wrestling. That's happening with CMLL with all the AAA defections. Like, every 6 months, it seems like there's a new person from CMLL and AAA. We just covered Noah last week. Masao was like, nah, man, I'm taking the roster. I'm pushing new dudes. And, like, we'll take your TV slot, too. We out of here. We'll call that shit Noah.
Holla. So Sam has a question. Sam Weller, he's at Sam Weller. He said, with Dunn seemingly done, a.k.a. not at SmackDown as well, do we see a shift in the product's presentation or they'll continue business as usual? I think his staff will just do business as usual. He said, tiny follow-up. He said, can we expect more coverage of WWE on the pod as a result of this? Love the show.
Probably. I'm willing to watch whenever there is a quote unquote unofficial slash Dave Meltzer slash Wade Keller slash Sean Ross slash you know, the media blast kind of come out that, like, this is the soft reboot date and this is where we're, like, revamping or whatever else under new regime creatively. I'll give it a look. And, like, to be quite honest with you, I'm, you know, what have I always said, Rich? We review these pay-per-views because anytime they can unfuck themselves. Well, this is the best opportunity for them to unfuck themselves. The person that was fucking up everything is now out of there. So
I'll say this. Everything is earned. Nothing is given.
Right. Now I'm saying, like, so what they have earned for me is the same thing that Ring of Honor has earned for me for Death Before Dishonor. The same thing that Noah earned for Destination last week. The same thing that Impact... will have earned in the next coming weeks when they do their pay-per-view. You will get a watch. You will get one watch. And if it's good enough, I will say, oh, that's fine, or that stunk, or it ain't moved me enough, and I need more.
Stale Burger Bun said, what's your favorite Vince McMahon moment?
What's the date?
Where's my phone? 7/22/2022.
So, like, July 22, 2022, at around like 4:30 p.m., Mr. Man said that he was getting the fuck up out of here. So, yeah,
I 100%
if you want a real one, I mean, I don't know, like, whatever was my favorite WWE moment as far as I don't know. So maybe, I don't know, what is my favorite WWE moment? WrestleMania, Shawn winning the belt at WrestleMania 12, maybe. That might be it. How fucking long ago that was?
1996, James.
Right. Like, it was funny because, like, today I sent you a text or I sent you a message, and Messenger was like, today is the 25th anniversary of Puff Daddy No Way Out. That came out in 97.
Right.
We saw it in 96 when I was a fucking kid. Ain't know no better.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
JML says, how long will it take for Nick Khan to sell WWE?
Officially?
Man, I feel like, you know, Nick Khan is the snake in the grass. Like, he's on top now. You know, Stephanie's there with him. But the one that's put this all together is him. He negotiated those new TV deals. He negotiated the Peacock deals. Like, I would be thinking the board would be looking at, like, they just sent Stephanie out of the company a month ago. So it's like,
so I know Rich, you are known as conspiracy man, right?
I've dabbled.
I have a conspiracy for you.
Oh, One Nation Radio. Let's go.
So, Triple H loses his job, as I talked about earlier, after he got set up for the L. And when he was clearly the only person that could succeed as a man at the time. So then the next thing we know, after the Hart thing, whatever, after NXT fails to topple AEW, and he has his Hart episode, and he's away. Stephanie, all of a sudden, a year later, she's stepping down to take care of her family, or whatever else. Which sounds like these two people were in a succession plan. Either they got tired of waiting, or they were told that they weren't going to get it. And then, as Stephanie is basically pushed out, or she leaves on her own, like 2 weeks later, or a week later, news drops that Vince McMahon has had sexual improprieties, a number of them, with various people. Now, why is that? Why would such a thing happen? So the next thing you know, Vince steps down from his role. Stephanie is put into Vince's role. Triple H, who had been working, like, I guess in the office, but not doing what he was doing, whether it was NXT or was talent relations, it was, you know, Vince's tag team partner, John Laurinaitis. He's gone. He's been installed back into his job. And as soon as, in the same day where Vince, where Triple H gets reinstalled back to his old job, minus the NXT part, hours later, we find out that Vince is stepping down, and we're basically back at the same succession plan we were at 2 years ago. Now, if we were to go, and all of these victims, they have NDAs, and people sign NDAs so they can sue the pants off of people for snitching, whatever else. So somebody will have to know where these bodies are buried. Now, a lot of people have said all along that they think it's Nick Khan, because Nick Khan got that dog in him because he's, you know, a CAA person. Now, but one would also say that, like, the next two people in line after Nick Khan, as far as most obvious suspects, would be Stephanie and Triple H, because they also know where these same bodies are buried. They're also privy to these same NDAs. They're also at these same meetings, these same stock talk exchanges.
I don't know about you, James. I don't believe that Stephanie McMahon had no idea about these improprieties.
Right. So, and she had to have known when the investigation was happening, before the investigation went public. So, somebody had to have leaked all this information and put all this pressure in. And I just find it interesting that this all started literally after, like, they were ousting Stephanie out the door.
Interesting. So as far as, like, you know, like, the impact on pro wrestling now, like, I think it I'm trying to think about how it impacts more than just, you know, WWE. Like, you got to think like the talent recruitment strategy. Like, WWE is looking at independent wrestlers again, like, well known, like SummerSlam weekend, there's going to be tryouts for indie guys. I have a friend that's an independent wrestler that recently spoke with WWE and has kind of been in contact that is, you know, trying to get recruited there. I'm looking across, you know, at AEW. You know, TK sent that tweet out and, you know, saying he's, you know, the longest running CEO and all that. I think TK has to also, like, look at his roster, like, now, because, like, maybe some of the people that maybe had no chance in WWE before, you got to take care of those people a little better now. Like, maybe your Sammy Guevara maybe looking. Maybe your Darby maybe looking one day. Like, and it's, like, a whole thing that's kind of opened up. If they don't keep the same prejudice that Vince has had, and this was just something that, you know, in NXT, Triple H showed that he would look past that. I don't know if he would take those same values and instill those values to the roster there in WWE that has older guys on top, that I don't know if they want to just push them out the door like that. That's going to be its own transition in itself, fighting with the fan base that they have that's been trained to see wrestling in the way Vince McMahon has seen it. And a drastic change for them could be bad for them. Mm-hmm. But looking at AEW, it's like, all right, you had the alternative, like, you had that sewed up. And I think they have to be prepared for people to look for that opportunity elsewhere now that maybe they didn't think they had to look at before. You also got to, like, look around, like, all these people that are, you know, former backstage people that used to work with Triple H that are hanging around the building now. And, you know, it's just seeing, you know, are the trade secrets, you know, are the recipes, like, in danger of being stolen? So there's a lot that goes into this.
Yes, there is. And I think, quite frankly, it is for the best of the wrestling business. Like, the median pro wrestler is smaller than it was 20 years ago across, like, all genres of pro wrestling, like America and Japan. Like, Manami Toyota, while she was out here crashing and burning fighting monsters, was 5'6". 5'6" would make her, like, one of the five biggest or tallest wrestlers in stardom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that is, you know,
Utami's size.
Utami's like 5'4".
Oh, wow.
5'5", something like that, right? Like, that's, you get my point, right? I mean, have you, Kenta Kobashi, Kensuke Sasaki, Okada is tall, Naito don't look like them too. Like, that's always been a thing. So, that's one of the things I've always commended Triple H for, is while he was always a bodybuilder guy, and then he all of a sudden, from WrestleMania 15 to SummerSlam 1999, gained like 30 pounds of muscle. Like, he is not, he doesn't have that kind of prejudice for size, because his best friend, probably because one of his best friend in pro wrestling is Shawn Michaels, who's always considered the small guy while he was tearing down houses with matches in main events. So, I think, quite frankly, and this is also, I didn't mention this on the podcast last week or earlier this week, but, like, Swerve and Our Glory, tag team champs AEW.
Yep.
Vince McMahon didn't know what to do with a Swerve, didn't know what to do with a Keith Lee. Triple H made one of them the NXT champion and made the other one the North American champion and gave him a super hot stable in promo time all, like, every other week. So, like, I just think that as far as the hiring practices and all that kind of stuff, this is better for the average wrestler. Like, they're not about to come out here and say, we're looking for guys, ex-football players, under 30, and the less wrestling they've ever seen, the better. You can get some good wrestlers out of that, but with 7 rings and 100 people, you're not. You're just not. If you want to send people on an excursion or whatever else, that'll raise your possibilities. If you want to open up the house show thing, whatever else, and give people time to get better at wrestling or whatever else, and we and be able to weed out who won't last and stick around, sure, that might help. But realistically, we need to start looking at people that are going to get on base. Like, Kevin Owens is a person that WWE would never have hired if not for someone like Triple H being around. Sasha Banks becoming the star that she was, Bianca Belair becoming the star that she was, the women doing what they did was because of NXT. Now, I'm not giving all the praise to Triple H with that, but because the women had to go out there and ball. They had to go out there and score 40 or 45 on those nights, right, to get their respect. But the opportunity was afforded to them by Triple H. The opportunity was afforded to all these wrestlers at the start from Triple H, and some of those people were so good that even Vince McMahon, with his prejudices for talent, still could overlook, like a Sasha, like a Kevin Owens. So, yeah, like, for me, I think it's for the best, and, like, the average guy is going to be, or not the average, the average size guy that is a good talker, a good wrestler, blah, 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 star appeal, whatever else, is gonna be looked on of, does this person get on base more than, oh, well, you know, we give this person X, Y, and Z, they may be half as good as this person that's right before us right now. So, yeah, like, I think it's for the better.
Vince McMahon inherited his territory from his father at a discount rate.
Yep.
Stole Hulk Hogan from the AWA, rode Hulkamania to unprecedented success. Anybody could have done that.
The respect I will give Vince is the idea that he recognized that this shit was going to cable. He used his advantages to further his advantages ruthlessly, right? Like, that is like when people talk about Nick Saban being how great of a coach he is in college football, the first thing he'll always say is, I'm not the best coach. I'm the best recruiter. So going out there and say, hey, you know, all you regional territories, send me your tapes. We'll put these guys on our television. And the next thing you know, he's posted all the top guys and put them all together. That was smart.
All the dirty business invented
that was
by
smart.
Or not.
It's ruthless. It's ruthless, but it was smart.
I don't want to say invented by Vince because I'm sure somebody taught it to him. Yeah, like there's a lot more like ruthless business like tactics, killing of the territories. Like when we talk about the spirit of pro wrestling and, you know, all the territories everyone looks back on fondly, all them shits got swallowed by this juggernaut who, yep, in the end made wrestling less popular than it was by the end of his run.
Yeah. Hey, Brewhaven, I see your thing. You said, I don't know, last year's show of Triple H NXT was kind of trash. Yeah, they were in a LA Fitness with no fans. Like, you're right, but I don't think any other promotion was more damaged by the pandemic than NXT having 400 raucous fans every week to them having to have friends and family stand up at all times, spread apart, around a cage dwelling that was poorly lit while they were going toe-to-toe every single Wednesday, getting their brains beat in by these... by a bigger, just looking arena with bigger stars. Like, yes, you're right. Like, but even while NXT's launched, like from NXT for the first few months until probably pretty much like the part where it all started going down was probably like when Keith Lee left. And then they had, because they were out here with Karrion Kross, and like that we all knew I thought the Karrion Kross thing was never going to work. And you thought the Karrion Kross thing wasn't ever going to work. And like the Karrion Kross thing did not work. And now, man, like,
He got brought
it to the main roster, and then like he's out of WWE. He's one of the first cuts in one of those waves of cuts. So yeah. And now like he's working Ric Flair's last match in the undercard.
I can't wait for the Observer. Dave's gonna have a full week to prepare I would assume would be the longest Observer ever. At this point, I'm sure.
Think so? Wasn't the Montreal school job like a two-part deal?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I don't know, man. This is it's a crazy day. I would tell people to embrace the change. I will not like I stopped watching WWE because of feeling insulted. Like they didn't listen.
Right.
Like they didn't know what they were doing. Like all the good wrestlers would go there to die and retire. And that quite frankly, that stinks. I don't clamor for them to do better. Like I don't have this attachment to them or anything. So like if they do better, great. But it's like, I'm looking at Vince and I'm just like, how did this go on for so long unchecked? And it's like, absolute power corrupts. And at the end of the day, you know, we know what this is. Like, this is not an old man making a decision to, you know, that he's moving on because he wants to do something else in life. Vince McMahon wants to do nothing else. He tries other things all the time and fails at them, like repeatedly. He wanted to be, he was at the end of the day, he was a dirty, slimy pro wrestling promoter like he hated. And he was gonna die in the chair until the block got too hot. Point blank. Like, and people can have their memories of him. The suckers are gonna chant thank you, Vince, and bow to him and act like he created pro wrestling, like I believe the Jimmy Van guy was saying, or you know, a lot of those kind of narratives.
Smokey
like,
hallways.
I'm sorry, man. Giant Baba was around, Antonio Inoki was around, fucking Bill Watts was around, Vern Gagne was around, like the Von Erichs were Fritz Von Erich was around. Folks in LA, like I'm not sure, like, you know, the name Roy Shire was around.
Yep.
Like all these other people were around doing pro wrestling. Pro wrestling will always come back in a new form.
You mentioned Paul Bosch in Houston.
Paul Bosch in Houston, Mid-South, Bill Watts, like Eddie Graham in Florida, like I guess this is just the world that they knew. This is just while you were here. You like watching the history of pro wrestling and all those WWE documentaries. Like if that's how you learn your pro wrestling, like stop learning pro wrestling that way, or else you're going to feel the way you feel now, which is like you were conned. Like I'm looking at you like you were conned, like you were a sucker, like you have been fed, you know, you've been hoodwinked, you've been bamboozled, led amok, run astray, you know, or run amok, led astray. Like you've been basically, you know, Memphis, Jerry Jarrett's dad, MJPR says. So like all these people, like at some point you gotta go. And this just happens to be Vince's gotta go time.
Yeah. Time for him to go. And I don't see any reason I need to like stifle my like enthusiasm and happiness the fact that he's gone. Like I felt like he's a reason, like Rich, we're this year will be the 10-year anniversary of One Nation Radio.
It will be.
And I think sometime in September, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And over that time, when we started this, we were watching just Raw, I think. And then we were also covering, you know, like sports, like NBA, NFL, a little bit of baseball, sprinkled here and there. And like, if you... It's funny because Josh went back and listened to Josh Smith from Keeping the Strong, listened to one of our old podcasts. And I guess it was like the one where like I buried like everything outside of WWE. I was like, that's a little league. I'm not watching that shit. I only have X amount of time that I'm going to invest in pro wrestling at that point in time. Like little did I know that like I loved wrestling so much from being a kid and missing the whole, you know, decade after Triple H won WrestleMania 2000 that like, getting back into it and catching up and learning new things, like it has like replaced so many of the other joys I had in life. Where there was baseball, the biggest example. I don't watch baseball at all, right? Like the Yankees are on pace to win over 110 games, and I'm just like, I can't invest right now because like they'll break my heart. I'll watch it. I'm just gonna watch it as like if they win, cool. If they don't, they had a great year, whatever else. I'm not going to invest myself in that kind of way where I'm living and dying 6 days a week on, you know, stupid shit like, why the fuck can't AJ Burnett get his shit together? I'm not doing that no more, right? I'm just not. I'm just not. So so much of my time has been invested in from that point from I would not watch Ring of Honor. I would not watch Impact. It is at a point where you're even watching Impact. You're watching Aces and Eights and all that shit. And I was like, no, not doing it. And then even NXT, like for the first couple years after the network, I was like, I watched TakeOvers. Like, that's cool. But I'm not really super invested in it. But, like, WWE's main roster was so bad at Vince's helm that, like, it drove me to find wrestling that was fucking competent around the world. Like, it led me to, it. Like, 2015 is kind of like the changing of the guard for all that shit. Like, there already was, you know, TakeOvers and Arrivals on the network. But it's, like, Wrestle Kingdom. And then from there is, like, NXT Brooklyn. And then from there is, like, Kenny Omega. And then from there is, like, Johnny Gargano. And then from there it's, like, the Mae Young, stuff like the Mae Young Classic. And then, like, me, by that point in time, we're going to Shine in Tampa because it's, you know, 25 minutes away, 30 minutes away. And then from there it turns into, like, I'm watching New Japan heavier all the time, and, like, I don't have a subscription, but, like, I'm going to Daily Motion, and I'm out here, like, watching the fuck, like, I'm watching a pirated stream in 450 resolution or whatever else is in, that's a Japanese copy, because, you know, they just put up whatever they can find. And then it turns into, like, it watch NXT religiously, and then it turns into, I like, you know, Kyrie and Io, let me see what's on this Joshi thing or whatever else, and now that leads us kind of to where we are now. If WWE, I'm a pro wrestling fan brought in by, through WCW and WWF/E. If this shit was just competent, I never take my eyes, my viewership, and my money into any other places. I would have been satisfied. That happened over the span of, what, half a decade? Roughly?
Like 7 years.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. So, like, yeah, like, they have just been the shits because of this one fucking guy clogging up the toilet. And I'm glad he's gone. Let that shit go down the tubes.
Let that bitch breathe.
What? That's a terrible metaphor that I made, or analogy that I made, but whatever. Like, we here now. Hey, man, this bottle, there's only this much left in this bottle. You see me sweating?
Oh, my God. MJ Does PR says the Jays are beating the Red Sox 22-3 in the fifth inning right now. Good God, please, don't assault me like this.
Boy.
Yeah, but Vince McMahon, man, ding dong, the wish is dead. You know, whatever. He's gone. We move on. You know. It is what it is. I don't know if you got anything else on this, James. If you guys got anything in the comments, you know, feel free to let it off and
get another bottle. No. We're not doing that. No, but I mean, any other questions y'all want to ask or whatever else, anything y'all want to bring up, we can get to it while we're here. But, you know, we're about a half hour away from Rampage tonight. So,
yep.
You know, that kind of wrap this up before we end up getting to 10 o'clock.
Yep. So just the butthurt, the this amazingness. You know, they were talking about SummerSlam and Brock Lesnar. You know, we talked about Brock walking out.
Talk about that or no?
Brock basically, you know, was almost on some, if he's gone, I'm gone, according to like Alvarez. And, well, you know, they're talking about reaching out to Goldberg to replace Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, which is just like, it's just hilarious that Goldberg is always the answer at this point. I wonder how far, like, would it be till they call the Undertaker? Like, does like Goldberg have to call back and be like, yeah man, I have a pulled whatever? And mind you, SummerSlam is on the 31st of
July. it's next Saturday, not yeah. This Saturday, so it's 8 days away basically.
Amazing. So yeah, Dylan says Brock Lesnar makes his case for being a member of the VKM Shaboing Boing Factory.
What? What is that? Like, I know when you talk about Cody, there's some Shaboing Boing click.
Like the Nightmare family.
Okay, so like So this is like, it just makes me making a joke about Cody. Okay, fair enough. All right.
Purple Drain said, is this the funniest day in Vince history since he blew out both of his quads at the Royal Rumble?
That one's up there. I think he probably laughs his ass off at how bad, the stern he took at WrestleMania this year was. There's no way you tear both quads and you laughing about that. Nah, that shit had to hurt.
I think so. Yeah. I never would have seen Vince going out in shame. That's not this is a shameless individual. And he's been shamed out to pain.
I know what I wanted to mention. So when he was going out after the first story came out from Wall Street Journal, and he showed up on SmackDown, he showed up on Raw, he did multiple appearances, whatever else. And then all of a sudden you heard that Triple H had, he told NXT roster he's back. No one knew the capacity, but he was back. It was and I remember saying to you, Finichel and Chad and Sam, he's hedging his bets that he might get his ass thrown out of here. That's why he brought Triple H back.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that's what, 3 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And now his ass out of here. He went out there, yes, to, because he's sleazy and wanted to get, a ratings boost on people with, morbid curiosity.
Walking the back saying, fuck them, and defiant, essentially waving his dick around.
Right. And but it was two parts. It wasn't just to get the morbid curiosity ratings boost. It was also he knew.
The thank you. The then, now, forever stuff.
He knew.
He came out there and was like, these people are going to love him no matter what. It's Trumpian. And they love him no matter what. They're still chanting thank you, Vince. They're bowing to him. The wrestlers, it's his own bizarre reality that he's set up. That he's basically, he walked through there and was like, he probably knew himself. Weeks Rich. Ago that he was gonna lay it down.
Rich, this bitch empty. Hey, this bitch, he's been on this bitch long enough. All right, I finished this bitch. All right, so that was his last goodbye. Whether he constantly knew it or subconsciously knew it, this was his even with the scummy way of getting an extra ratings boost by doing that. This is a way of saying goodbye to people. This is a way of getting out there. And if there's ever some documentary on his legacy, whatever else, as it's just going on, people will show video and either be like, damn, people
that shit was for the video package, huh?
Or people will look back and be like, oh my God, these fans are fucking disgusting. This shit came out and days later fucking bowing to him like he's God himself. So, I mean, it's a bit of both. But yeah, he knew the time was calling for him.
Bill was due.
Yeah. So
unbelievable.
I don't really have much else. I think we basically did 55 minutes on Vince McMahon being out of here. I've drank a whole 150 liter one and a half liter of this sparkling wine. It was delicious. I think this is time to get up out of here. Is anything else before we get out of here? Do y'all have any last questions? Otherwise, they're gonna have to pack this shit up until Monday. Anything else?
No, we're going once, going twice. Make sure you guys check out the the rest of the shows. I'm sure everybody else is gonna have their own things to say. I figured. We might as well get on it. I was messaging James at 5:00 emergency show tonight. I was ready to do it at 5 p.m. today. I was ready to let it off.
Oh man!
But yeah, good times.
Yeah.
But
it's time to wrap this one up. On Monday we'll come back with y'all. Whatever fallout news we get, obviously it'll come from this. Stardom's two pay-per-views. We'll give you all Dynamite and Rampage from this week. So look forward to it. any other questions y'all have, add us to, you know, One Nation Radio or me and Rich, or go into Discord and ask questions. We'll collect it all, and, you know, we'll come right back to this. Like, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stuff, you know,
we don't got to stop smoking this pack.
Yeah. Yeah.
The packs is endless, you know, on events.
Make the most of all that was given to us, you know, in this sacrifice. So, yeah. So that's the end of the show. Thanks for listening, y'all. Thanks for listening to the stream. If you're listening from the stream, go to our PayPal, go to our Cash App, hit us with donations.
Classic Audio.
Yes, if you are listening to the podcast from this, go to our Rare Circle. The link is in the description, and go drop us off a donation there. And be sure to listen to other shows on the network. On besides One Nation Radio, you have Keeping It Strong Style, The Ricky and Clive Wrestling Show, Grumman Watch This Shit, The Grave Consequences Podcast, 8-Bit Suplex, All Things Elite, Great Match Generator, Get in the Ring, Meet the Press Slam, and AEW Match Guide. Thanks for listening, y'all. Later.
Peace.